John chapter 11. We're going to pick it up in verse 45. And John 11, beginning in verse 45. And we're just going to go through 53. John 11, 45 through 53. Amber, when your smartphone can catch up to the rest of us. I told you I was going to give you a bad time all night. That's not going to stop. So, John 11, you want to start in verse 45, and let's just everybody get a verse till we get through 54.
Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him.
But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done.
Therefore, the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and were saying, "What are we doing? For this man is performing many signs.
We let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation."
But one of them,
Caiaphas,
who was the high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all.
Nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation should not perish."
Now he did not say this on his own initiative, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation.
Not for the nation only, but in order that he might also gather together into one the children of God who are scattered abroad.
So from that day on, they planned together to kill him.
All right. You guys know how I like to start this out by saying what sort of things jumped out at you guys. First read through, what sort of things did your brain, when you slow it down, think about it, say, that's interesting.
They continue to deny that the man's performing many signs. They look the way to camp, to me.
Yeah, the weird thing is they denied it in public, in private. They admit it, but they don't. But they're, even though they can logically admit it, like you said, Kevin, they're going to find a way to kill. Like, so in their heart, they're denying it. Like, there's a huge disconnect. So that's a big one. Lorenzo, what were you going to say?
Kind of along the same thing. Like that, it's obvious even to them. You know that. I think John 3. That's what he's kind of saying. Whatever Nicodemus is saying, we know. Obviously, there are probably other ones that probably don't believe too from that, but I think they just know whether they agree or not.
Yeah, exactly. Way back as early as John 3, Nicodemus comes and says, "We know that you have to be from God." So it's, you know, these guys were very aware of the validity of the miracles from the early time, but they are. We'll definitely talk about that one a little bit.
Dead set against him, pun intended.
Yeah, dead set against him. It's a good one, Mr. Simpson. What else? Anything else jump out at you guys? Lorenzo. Oh, do you have something, Kevin? Caleb?
Well, I was going to say Caiaphas was super blunt.
Yeah, super blunt. Caiaphas was just straightforward. You guys know nothing at all, don't you? How'd you end up in this council anyways? But then, and then he's very straightforward and cold-blooded about his plan. This is what we're going to do. Okay? Lorenzo.
I just think it's interesting how they're just worried about power and they're worried about the Romans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, the Romans are going to come. Too many people. We're going to lose our power. And just
excellent.
So there must have been a swamp over there that needed to be drained.
any of you ladies, anything special jump out at you? The guys get it all covered. Or Mr. Bisco, even in the back? You can yell something out if anything jump out at you. This guy's got it covered. Okay, well, let's work our way through it. We will touch on these things. Did I miss you?
No.
Oh, okay. I just want to give you opportunity, Amber, if you want it. Okay.
I have a question, Luke.
Yeah.
You might answer this later on, but yes.
Yeah.
Caiaphas or Caiaphas, because there's Ananias too.
Annas,
yeah. So is Annas the actual high priest and Caiaphas is like from the Romans put him there? Or how does that work?
Yeah, but I think Annas was the one who was supposed to be, according to the law, should have been the high priest. But Caiaphas, they had... Was it through the Romans or was the Jews that the Jews adopted at this point in time some sort of the Jewish basically had come up with a alternative voting system and then God had ordained high priests as long as he's living, right? I mean, basically, I think there's probably he could retire or something, like a Supreme Court justice. I don't know, but.
Let's start with Antiochus Epiphanes when he started appointing.
Yeah.
And he took it from there.
So what, 165 BC, on. So, yeah. So this is good, very good question. But yeah, they kind of circumvented God's plan for their own, and it's it's interesting. You just follow through. You think about just a real quick veer off here, but the early church. First departed in terms of organizational structure of leadership within the church. That's the first, the great falling away. Because as soon as you start messing with God's plan of authority, then man can do his own thing. Basically, it all becomes arbitrary. Right. So yeah, good pickup. All right. Well, you guys know the setting here. Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead, and. In a court of law, sometimes there's a term that's used, the smoking gun evidence. What do we mean, the smoking gun evidence? Any of you younger girls have an idea what? I'll come to Amber if the younger ones can't figure it out. Any idea what smoking gun evidence would be? Austin? Oh, so there was. So yeah. what's your mom look like on the shooting range? sometimes that you ever played the game Clue, and you got to figure out who did it, where they did it, and what was the weapon, right? Well, when they present the weapon as a smoking gun, it's this thing still warm, It's just been shot. We present it. It's kind of the way they say, hey, we found, this is the ringer. This is the piece of evidence we had to have. We won't talk about OJ's black glove or whatever it was along the way. But yeah, that's what they mean. So Kevin mentioned earlier, guys, these guys somehow are trying to deny who Jesus is, and they just saw Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. In a court of law, this is smoking gun evidence. There's just no question about it. But there's the power of earth was pulling on these guys. And I think it's interesting and worth considering, guys. There is, you can know the facts of Christianity, and you can still not follow Christ. You can be presented with the evidence, and you can see the Bible. Yep, prove the Bible is true, and you just don't want to go where it takes you. There are a lot of people in that boat, honestly. And my guess is most of us adults have. We've felt that struggle. Okay? The pull of earth is pretty strong here. Mm-hmm. And these guys are sitting there, though, in the face of seeing somebody raised from the dead, and they're worried about... They're really worried about mankind instead of God. And, the reality of it is... So, because of that, because of that power of earth pulling on them, and as Lorenzo pointed out, they're worried about their place and their nation, and etc. They want to hold on to what they got. They got to do something about Jesus. And I just find it interesting that typically there are three possible responses. There are three primary responses to the gospel when it's presented, to when people see the facts. Okay? Acts 17 spells those out really clearly. Just wondering if you guys can. We see, We kind of see two of them here in John pretty clearly. Verses 45 and 46, I'll let you guys look those over real quick and tell me the two responses you see here. Caleb.
Some of them believed.
There's one. What's the other possible response from this section? Yeah. And in this case, they weren't like sharing good information. They kind of like went and tattletailed on them. Okay? Like, we got to do something about this. Okay? We got to shut this guy down. So basically, the two responses we see here is those who believe and those who are opposed and are going to try to stop this message. And then Acts 17 tells us one other group of people, and those are the ones who are kind of, interesting. I'll hear you again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me think about that one for a while. Okay. And a few of those people do come back for a second hearing, but most of them walk away and kind of forget it. Okay. But those are the possible responses, and we see that played out right here. So, but when the Pharisees hear about these things, the chief priests and the Pharisees, they convene a council. So we're going to have a meeting, and it's going to be kind of a, well, it's a meeting that, this is not your public forum. This is not where we're in. It's not a town council where anybody's welcome to come. This is their council. We're going to meet behind closed doors, and we're going to figure out what we're going to do about this. As a little side note, guys, do you ever find it interesting? Well, you know, I don't know if we get to that yet.
After they convened their council, they wondered what they were doing. You know.
Did we read this? I'm sorry, Mrs. Love.
Went to 53.
Where does it talk about them thinking about killing Lazarus again?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anyways, we won't deal with that tonight. So, what did you say, Mrs. Love? I'm sorry.
Well, they had convened the council, and were saying, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of dawned on them what they were pulling off. And they, for this man is performing many signs, and if we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation.
What are you guys doing sitting around doing nothing? What are we doing? We got to do something. We got to deal with this, right? And so I just want to hit on something real quickly here, guys. This might be a shocker to you. I'm looking at this audience. I don't think but there are conspiracies of men. You know, I remember when my dad first started preaching. Wow. Probably 45 years ago. Pretty early on, he was preaching about conspiracy, and people looked at him like he was crazy. Okay. Now most Americans, I think, would say, yeah, there's governmental conspiracies. I don't even know what. I've seen a few, and I have not followed any of the leads on this, but I even saw a few weird things about this Las Vegas shooting, that there's some interesting stuff. There's more than one shooter. I don't know. I haven't followed up on any of those leads, but it wouldn't surprise me one bit. Okay, the way that the government works, they're going to let us hear the part they want us to hear, so they can continue to promote their agenda. That's the way, you know. And somebody's playing these things. Okay? They have meetings and plan, and you know, figure out what sort of information is going to be disseminated to the public. All right. Let's go back for a second. There's just a few verses I want to hit to kind of. To build our understanding of this. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 really reminds me of the culture that we have in America right now. It's really, you guys are familiar with 1 and 2. The Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, neither is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. Your iniquities have made a separation, etc., etc., right? And he goes on and talks about the rampant sin. But then verses 9 and following, there's just some lines in here that remind me. Verse 10 says, we grope along the wall like blind men. Mm-hmm. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday as in the twilight. Verse 11, we hope for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it's far from us. Verse 14, justice has turned back and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the street and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking. And he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. I think it's pretty indicative of what we have in this country. You know, I was just thinking about the race issue that keeps being hammered away at in all sides in the media. You know, I think I'm confident that there at times is some racial inequality in this country. I'm sure of it. I'm sure that there's some people because of the color of their skin automatically get looked at, upon with suspicion. Okay. I'm also...
My brother-in-law just died about a month ago, Todd's brother. And he did not have anything good to say about the Indians and the Negroes. And I said, Howard, I said, God used the same pattern for them as he used for us. And he said, there's no difference.
Yep.
They got a heart, they got a soul.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, when you see people, that's what you should see, is soul. But that's not the, you know, I forget which, some a guy named Benjamin Watson, I think, a NFL football player a couple years back when one of these things, he just get a, you know, pretty good little summary of it and he closed with, it's not a skin issue, it's a sin issue.
That's right.
And that's what it is. And you can see it, you know, on both sides of the racial divide here in this country. It's just sin being the problem. But one thing I want to key in on here from Isaiah 59 is truth has stumbled in the street. Yes, truth is lacking. Do you guys ever read the news or hear the news and feel like...
Fake news?
Yeah. How do you figure out what's true?
You can't.
Hey, how in the world do you know? I love the former Soviet newspaper. It was called Pravda, which is their word for truth. You know, the propaganda, and everybody knew it was a propaganda machine. But is there any different, really, with American news today? No, you have no idea that you're getting the straight scoop. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. So, I think a lot of people figured that out. We can't figure out what's, like, they're confused. They can't figure out what's true. And this is a tactic, guys, that's, you know, well used by really enemies of God. And it's just to, initially just to try to confuse the issue. Anybody here read the book by Dan Brown, The Da Vinci Code? Anybody read that? You did? Yeah, I did too. And I was interested in it because, well, I was getting questions in Bible studies and stuff. But one thing, and didn't anybody see the movie, Da Vinci Code? The movie was not nearly as easy to pick up on what the agenda was as the book. The book is just straightforward about, you know, the agenda there is that, bottom line, two things. We have no idea that our Bible is legit because it was given to us from the Catholics and we all know they were. Okay? And then secondly, you know, it's fine if you read your Bible. It's fine if people read the Bible. What's the problem is when people actually started believe this thing like the literal truth or something. Those are the nuts of crazies that we have to worry about. Okay, and it's all intertwined within the story. But, you know, guys, I predicted something like that was coming out. Okay? The Passion of Christ was big, right? Mm-hmm. And as soon as the Passion of Christ made it big, it's like, okay, they can't just let that go unanswered. So you have Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code. Then you have like the Gospel of Judas start airing on some TV.
Right.
You know, it's a... Why is that? Because people, all they have to do is confuse stuff, and people read something like the Da Vinci Code, and they walk away and see the Gospel of Judas. The big question in people's minds is, how in the world would we ever know what's supposed to be in the Bible anyways? And people walk away confused. And they...
Most people don't even realize that that was a fictional book. They take it as truth.
Yeah.
It's confusing. So.
Good point. Yeah, very, very good point. Yeah, when people can't even read something and tell the difference between fiction and nonfiction, we got a problem. But But you know what? That's a really good point, Teresa, because people, when I'm convinced, people watch stuff on TV or movies, and when they see something, they believe they saw it like it's in real life. And so people really have a tendency to believe the things that they see. And they've even done, I think a few people got in trouble, like, you know, they did like this whole story on one of these, like, I don't remember, it was Discovery Channel or something. And then at the end, they kind of, they basically let you know it was a hoax. But a lot of people didn't watch, like, the end or didn't catch their disclaimer at the end. So people ran around, like, just totally convinced about some. Any of you guys ever read the, like, the newspaper on April Fool's? And you read this article, and it's like, what the world? And then if you look, it's like, April Fool's, all capital A-B-R-I, you know, that, I don't know. Anyways, you know, that's our media all the time, but they don't tell you that the whole thing's a fool's slanted. That's the way it is. Look, I like Romans 1:18. Caleb, would you read that, please?
Yeah. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness.
See, this, it's not just an accident, guys, that truth is tough to find. There are people who actually suppress the truth in unrighteousness. I know Mr. Simpson shot. But the, you know, the whole creation evolution, it's kind of the context here. Creation evolution debate in our country, that's a perfect example of that. Okay? The Ben Stein, his movie Expelled, did a good job just showing how the truth is being suppressed, okay, being hidden. Now let's take it a step further. Psalm chapter 2, it's one thing to try to hide the truth yourself, sweep it under the rug. It's another thing when you start the powerful among us, the rulers, when they start working together and meeting together to make sure that the general populace doesn't know the truth. It's one thing, guys, I'll just make a little comparison here. It's one thing when your neighbor breaks into your house and steals, you know, your last year's savings that you had hidden under the mattress. Okay. It's another thing when the government's stealing everybody's last year's savings through their economic system of fake money and inflation, and they do it across the board to every family in this whole country. The neighbor's the one who gets in trouble for being a common thief. But the big boys are the ones who are robbing you blind. So I want to even ask, Mr. Simpson, Mrs. Simpson, you guys are getting up there a little. So, can you imagine economically the situation you guys would be in if the government wouldn't have been stealing from you all these years, inflation wise? Would you?
Can we get back to the Bible?
Okay. Oh yeah, he already told me he was Dr. No tonight. Never mind. I'm sorry. I take it back. Okay. So the point that I'm making is that there's small scale stuff and there's big scale stuff. And the small scale, you know, dishonesty of people, that's stuff that's bothersome. You don't like it when people don't tell the truth. But where's this whole habit of lying and dishonesty? Look at Psalm 2, verses 1 through 3. Yep. Amber, you want to read those? Psalm 2, 1 through 3?
Yeah. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us.
People don't want to answer to God. And so the kings of the earth, the rulers of the earth, they gather together, they take counsel together, they conspire to figure out how are we going to do our own thing. Mr. Simpson.
It's amazing to me, as religious leaders that want to put Jesus to death were probably very aware of this song. And they still did what they did.
Yep.
That's what gives me. This was written.
You know, it kind of gets back to, there's a certain mentality. When you can see somebody raised from the dead, and you're going to allow a disconnect because it doesn't fit your agenda of what you want. People are familiar with the scriptures and it doesn't fit the agenda of what they want, and so they just ignore it. There's a lot of religious leaders.
I agree with that.
Who do the same thing. And so like you said, Mr. I mean, they
specifically about the Lord and his anointed. What's Jesus been saying to him?
The Christ. They've been waiting for this. So they would have been very familiar with this. And they still are participants in it. Caleb?
Well, yeah. One thing I don't understand is in verse 45, how it said some believed, and then 46, some went and told. But it didn't say they were unbelieving. They just went and told. And then in verse 48, they said, if we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him. They said that because they knew it was legit.
Well, one thing about it, you know, there's a reason. Why do you think they don't allow in the public schools? Why do you think they don't allow intelligent design to be taught in science? Because truth's powerful. It's like Steve Doty says, you know, truth, when it's hidden, it's meaningless. But when it's manifested, there is power. So, you know, hey, not everybody's still going to follow the truth, but it's dangerous to them to let people know the truth. And that's what they're saying here. We got to hide this because if we go on, let him go on like this, everybody's going to know. Everybody's going to believe. Now we know, not at an individual level, most people still aren't going to follow through and do completely the right thing. But still, can you imagine this country? Because the goodness that we have in this country is still, even a lot of people that aren't true Christians, but to whatever degree they follow the Bible, like, wouldn't you rather be, you know, next to church-going Baptists, have them be your neighbors than the drug dealers? I would. So, these guys, Caleb, I don't think, not everybody's going to fully believe, but yeah, they're going to believe, they're going to see the facts, they're going to, and that's the conspiracy, is to hide the truth intentionally. So people don't know. Lorenzo.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the rich man Lazarus story. And he was like, even if someone raised from the dead, they don't listen to the prophets. It's meaningless. And I just think of the importance to try to get people to come back to the Bible. Because really, if they're not off the Bible, even if they have the right idea, it's not founded on the Bible, it's all just...
Sure.
You know, even if somebody comes from the dead.
Exactly.
They still, it's not from the Bible.
Great point. And you've been having some fun experiences getting to Bible study with people, and it is amazing how people can look at something straightforward in here and see what it says and understand what it says and still deny it. Same problem. It is a heart problem. So... okay, I better get moving here. I just, you know, one of the big points I wanted to make sure is that everybody is aware of is, guys, there are conspiracies, and there's a big conspiracy. Satan's the ultimate conspirator, and what he wants, you know, the scriptures says that he blinds the minds of the unbelieving. And so he is trying to make sure that people can't see the truth. So let's move back on here into what we got here in John chapter 11. What Evie said, they asked, what are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. They knew. They couldn't deny. In private, they're not denying whether or not Jesus did the signs. The blind man is a recent one. Now raising of Lazarus. They can't deny that. So say, what are we going to do about this so that people don't keep on believing in him? You know, the disconnect. And sometimes I'm shocked at the disconnect of people, the human brain, the mental gymnastics, the ability to be in the face of truth and still totally veer off and do something different. These guys, their religion was an outward form, and they really operated as though God didn't exist. Guys, not to try to tell you I've been around the block, but there's a lot of the religious leaders out there who they know their Bibles and they can quote them, their verses but they operate as if God doesn't exist. Why would you keep telling somebody, when you've seen what the scripture says about salvation, why would you keep telling somebody an alternative man's way of trying to save somebody's soul. You have to try, well, yeah, I'm helping people out, but you know there's this part of your brain that knows it isn't true. Because really you come to the conclusion, you don't care about, you really push God out of your mind. There's no fear of God before their eyes. So what they were afraid of were the Romans. The Romans are going to come and take away our place and our nation. They had been hoping for political freedom from the Romans. Jesus wasn't going to bring them that, and so he wasn't bringing that kind of liberty. So they're looking, you know, at the world through the through fleshly eyes, and they're thinking nobody can stand before Rome. I forgot to hit this one, but Revelation 13 talks about the beast from the sea, and then it goes into later the beast from the earth. The beast from the sea, guys, is basically governments that are conspiring, you know, anti-Christian government. Okay, and it's, you get to Revelation 13 verse 4, and the question is, who can wage war with the beast? Who's able to stand before him? And that's where most people are at. They're afraid. I got to admit, without knowing the Lord and making sure I'm on the Lord's, I'm a little afraid of the power around me. You know what I mean by that? Like, if you're not on the wrong... Hey, these guys, they can check in on any email you send. They can listen to any message. Like, who can wage war with that? Who can stand before? It's pretty terrifying if you don't know that you're with God. And it's really, you know, different levels, but it's the same idea. Along, these guys are afraid of Rome, and that's, hey, we have a place right now. We have a protected place. We're okay. They're not bothering us. They've given us a position. We got to do something about this, or we're going to lose our position. You know, their speech betrayed their motive. They end up saying what they really think. It's selfishness. It's about me. It's about us protecting ourselves. And speech always will reveal, guys, our hearts. So,
I like their justification. That the whole nation should not perish.
Yes. Yeah, Caiaphas is on the ball. The notes here, Lorenzo, say that the Roman-appointed high priests were political figures. So I guess maybe the Romans were, at this point in time, having some stuff in that too. I'll do a little research on that too. Get back to you. You know nothing at all, nor do you take into account an expedient that one man should die for the people, the whole nation should not perish. Hey, the solution is get Jesus out of the way. How many people still? That's the solution. Let's get Jesus out of the way. And then we can, and it's for the good of everybody, right? Again, you can see that in our culture right now. Hey, you know, guys, if there can be equality among everybody, if we get rid of these old, outdated coffee spiller.
Oh. No. No spill. I carry water with a tight lid. No spill.
It's a nice Bobcat container too. So, but you know, if we can just get rid of these old, outdated system of morals, everybody would be better off. The reason there's inequality, social inequality, racial inequality, sexual inequality, the reason for that is because of some old book that people still adhere to. Let's just get Jesus out of the way and everybody would be better off. That's the argument, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
There's a lot of people that don't go to church, they don't believe in God, they don't believe the Bible.
You know, last time I checked, guys, you know, evolution is survival of the fittest. And let's just take one issue, male-female equality. Typically, in general, the male is stronger. So, if we're going to follow that, if we're going to take away the Bible, and we don't get, how's that going to work out? Well, let's just ask a question real quick. How has feminism worked out for women? Most of them now, okay, how many, prior to the feminist movement, and I'm not saying things were perfect, not by any means, but prior to that, how many women were having to be both mom and dad? You know what I mean? Now, it's like, that has not worked out in favor of women. Women actually, men used to actually marry women. Women could actually get married. And now they're, 30 years old, living with a guy waiting to get... It's just, anyways, I'm not... If you get away from this stuff, it doesn't work. But the solution and what's pushed from the world is, oh, get rid of Jesus, get rid of the Bible, get rid of... And things, and for the sake of the nation. You just wait where that goes. Nazi Germany, won't talk too much about that, but when society sets itself up as the standard, it always goes bad. So, alright, now this is good too. Caiaphas, okay, who is this selfish high priest who is worried about himself, his position, their place, and yet the scripture says here, this is cool, guys. I want you to think about this. Back here in John 11. So, when Caiaphas says do you take into account it's expedient for you that one man should die for the people, the whole nation should not perish. This he did not say on his own initiative of being high priest that year. He prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation. And not for the nation only, but that he might also gather together into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. Caiaphas, Caleb, would you say he's very blunt?
Yes.
And he is cold-blooded, and there are people who sit in meetings and plot the murder of millions. I know, I'm not in any way trying to minimize the bad things of these mass shootings. It is a tragedy. But when you look back at the previous century and you look at the mass killings done by dictators who had instituted gun control in their countries, you realize that 58 people being killed doesn't compare at all to hundreds of millions of people being killed in one country.
Right. Never talk about that.
There are people who sit in these meetings and they say, let's put so-and-so to death.
Conspiracies. Listen to Hop.
Yeah. Hop had an influence on me, Mrs. Love. So, we want to be wise in what's good and innocent in what's evil, but we also don't want to stick our head in the sand.
Okay.
Early on, John chapter 2 talks about Jesus. He knew what was in man. We got to understand, really. The book of Genesis says it pretty well. The heart of man is on evil continually. You got to understand that apart from Christ. And don't expect that people will tell you the truth. The whole educational philosophy of this country, people go to their class, they listen to their professor, they read their books, and they assume they're getting the truth. Guys, people lie all the time. What better system of slavery could you have than an educational system where the slaves are learning from their masters and they're believing that what they're being told is true when it's a lie? PhD doesn't mean anything. So, anyways, I know I keep getting off on that. But here's the cool thing. Even though Caiaphas is doing this from selfish motives, he's got his own agenda. Who's working a bigger plan here? What did you say?
What?
A bigger plan.
Oh. I said something about...
Oh, bagels?
I literally messed with you. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Bagels sound good, though. Let's go. So somebody's working a bigger plan. And who is that? The God. Caiaphas is high priest, and he's actually making a prophecy. Would God use somebody who wasn't on his side to make a prophecy?
Absolutely.
Okay, Balaam actually gives an amazing prophecy. Okay. And is Saul not also among the prophets? I mean, hey, God can work through these guys that are even not on his side. In this case, God's using the one who's serving the role as high priest to prophesy of, that Jesus is going to save, not only he's going to save the nation. Okay? So, this is important to remember when we talk about conspiracies. To me, I can honestly get a little afraid when I open up my eyes and see the magnitude of the satanic conspiracy. It is pretty scary, really. Any of you guys ever seen some of the stuff out there and the entertainers and, you know, the some of those conspiratorial Satanism stuff? It's, hey, I don't think there's any doubt about the prince of the power of the air working. And then you go big scale, world governments. These are, you know, who is able to wage war? But there's something important to remember. God has the final say. Okay, Isaiah 8, even Isaiah warns people, basically, don't be afraid of the conspiracies of men. It's the Lord of hosts whom you should consider holy. And he should be your fear and your dread. Because God has the final say. So even though Caiaphas thinks he's doing this, God's actually using Caiaphas' selfish motives to carry out God's own plans. Go to Revelation 17 really quick. So, I've mentioned this before in my messages when I've preached on this a little bit. I'm surprised my mom let us watch this movie, actually. But she liked Robert Redford and Paul Newman, I think, is what it boiled down to. And so we watched the movie The Sting. Okay? And I did not get that movie the first couple times I watched it, but basically, you know, they were running a sting operation on, what'd you say?
On a con man.
Yeah, on a con man. They were running a sting operation on the con man. So I was thinking about the way Satan works. Okay? Satan's running a sting operation on the world. But what he doesn't realize, while he's doing that, God's running one on him. Okay? Ultimately, God's the one whose purpose is being carried out. Revelation 17, verse 17. Talking about the beasts and the harlot and all these agents of Satan pictured in the book of Revelation. We get down to verse 17. It says, "For God has put it in their hearts to execute His purpose by having a common purpose and by giving their kingdom to the beast, until the words of God should be fulfilled." You follow this through. These guys end up basically devouring each other, and God is carrying out His purpose through them with their own selfish purposes. God's an amazing God. His will is going to be accomplished. Okay? Through vessels of honor or through vessels of dishonor, but His will is going to stand. Okay? And so, yeah, we can actually take great courage, guys, in that. In the midst of all the stuff going on around us, hey, God's sovereign. He's in control. His will is going to be done. Is it terrible that what Caiaphas would say? Is it terrible these guys are conspiring and have this meeting and secret meeting to kill the Son of God? Yep. But wow, what a beautiful plan God had through it all. So don't fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. Rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. There are a lot of great lessons from John 11. But one of them that I want us all to think about and consider how you guys are going to take this with you this week to be doers of the word and not hearers is to make sure that who we really care about is God. Because there is pressure all the time. Peer pressure, you young people, there's peer pressure, fitting in. Older people, there's still peer pressure. And, you know, the way this whole world system's set up, you can get ahead by just cheating the system, cheating God's system a little bit. If you stick straight to God's plan and what God wants, there's some real disadvantages in this world. So there's that constant pressure, but there's a great reminder from us from John 11. Hey, we've seen Jesus raised from the dead. So our perspective should, don't ever let the pull of this earth win out over the pull of heaven. All right? Be doers this week. All right, we're dismissed.